Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 262 of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. I am your host, Sean Hayes, bringing you another week's worth of the latest and greatest geeky news. Got a couple of, a lot of gaming-related stuff, some of it good, some of it not so good, as well as we have some news on the next World of Warcraft expansion. It's always a tricky thing. I think it's still important to report on it. I'm still sort of in a tenuous wait and see sort of pattern. trying to see if Blizzard is going to, you know, rectify a lot of the problems that they had. Hopefully they actually show proof that they're fixing those issues by the time this expansion comes out. Because I canceled my sub. You know, I'm not paying for the game anymore. I said I'm not coming back until, you know, the stuff is fixed around here. And I would like to hold them to that. But that said, we're going to talk about the stuff. It's very exciting. So my hope is that they do fix everything with their social issues that they have at the company. But before that, we've got a whole bunch of weekly news, quick fire news to wrap up. So why don't we get right into that? All right, first up, we finally got a trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder. It looks great. It looks like it has, you know, being another Marvel film from Taika Waititi, has sort of that same vibe as Thor Ragnarok. Just the comedic timing in the trailer is really good. And you know, little taste of what's to come is Thor's decided, you know, they saved the universe. Everything seems to be in good hands. What does he do now? And he feels, you know, maybe time for being a superhero is done and over for me. Everything's left in good hands, so maybe it's time I try and find where do I fit in the universe? Because, you know, he was always a warrior. You know, and is that what he wants to be? Does he want to be something better than that? So he's on a quest for meaning. Teamed up with best MCU character ever, Korg, as well as the Guardians of the Galaxy. So there's going to be a whole bunch of cameos from them as well. Other notable things that we see is the return of Jane Foster. That's very exciting. Killer soundtrack. And Mick in a suit. We see it's Valkyrie is like holding what looks like a town hall session. She's dressed up in a suit, just like sitting at an office table, you know, boardroom setting type thing. And you can see Mick off on the side, you know, in like a just not like a battle suit, but like business wear. Very weird. Looking forward to that. This is, you know, between this and Doctor Strange, these are what I'm looking forward to. And really leaning into sort of the, meshing between what they started setting up with Thor Ragnarok and then sort of mixing that with Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm pretty excited for that. Next up, Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Speaking of things I'm also super excited for, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 had its release date pushed up. This is something you don't hear too often in the video game industry. Normally you hear about delays. This is being pushed up like a month and a half. So instead of releasing in September, will be released July 29th. So very excited about that. Got a little bit of another trailer there. Nothing makes sense. But it does look like we get some sort of Nippon Heroes, which is the most important thing. So very excited for that. You know, I'm sure if there's going to be like some sort of June Direct to compensate for E3 not happening, we'll probably see more info about it there. Next up, Sega is reportedly planning big budget reboots of Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio alongside some sort of initiatives to provide long-term revenue and regular revenue. Basically like what Epic's doing with Fortnite and pretty much any other company that's doing some sort of free-to-play, very popular product that includes like battle passes and microtransactions. As a way for to have a product that is constantly generating revenue, as opposed to you release a game, generates a big spike in revenue, and then kind of drops off after release period. No idea if they're going to do that in conjunction with these two titles, or if they're going to look at something completely new to do that with. They are also releasing Sonic Origins, like an anniversary edition of Sonic Origins, that will have pixel perfect, I guess, versions of Sonic 1, 2, I think Sonic 3, Sonic and Knuckles, and Sonic CD, I think. And then sort of like updated versions of those that include slightly tweaked rule sets and things like that. Little bit of a controversy with what's actually available with the game versus what's available through DLC. It's a bit of a mess. You know, if there's further clarifications on what happens, I will report back on that in the future. Next up, Nintendo now seems to be in hot water. A former Nintendo of America contractor files a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board over things like coercion, unlawful, termination, and constant surveillance. There are not a whole lot of details with the filing. Looks like, you know, it'll have to be like a case will have to open up in order for more details to come out. There's some scuttlebutt around the internet right now among people who claim to be former contractors that have worked there that management, you know, will try and catch you like if you're a couple minutes late or, you know, if you take like quote unquote excessive bathroom breaks. You know, on the one hand, support workers. You know, on the other hand, a lot of this stuff is sort of unverified by news agencies at the moment because, again, actual details in the complaint are scant and they won't be revealed unless like an investigation opens up. So, yeah, I mean, I think given, you know, what was it? I think there was stuff that came out with Sony and I think with Microsoft as well, you know, after the whole Activision Blizzard thing. So maybe, just maybe, you know, we shouldn't perhaps take this stuff with a grain of salt. It's entirely possible that these are true. So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty safe bet to assume that like every video game developer or publisher engages in some pretty awful practices. It's pretty rare to see a developer or publisher that actually acts pretty ethically. And to be clear, this is with Nintendo of America, not Nintendo Co. Limited, or the parent company. So not sure what's going on up in the Redmond offices. But we'll see. We'll see what happens when I'm pretty interested to hear what details come out of this complaint. And if there's a case. Because, you know, it's fairly easy to apply pressure to companies like Activision Blizzard. When it's somebody like Nintendo or Sony or Microsoft, suddenly it gets a lot more difficult to apply pressure as a consumer, in order to affect change. And also the fact that it's like a regional division. So, yeah, I want to be clear. I'm not making excuses for this. Which is why I'm really interested to see what the report says. You know, and if it comes out that labor practices are really terrible, something needs to be done, you know? And I can't help but think that maybe, just maybe, this is another call for unionization among employees. It also gets into sort of murky waters with the fact that, so because it was a contractor, it also named like the contracting agency, like the hiring agency. And so not sure if part of it is with, like, it's a little, it's a little vague on like, what part would be Nintendo's response, like Nintendo of America's responsibility versus like the hiring agencies or the contracting agency's responsibility. So it's another sort of, I think this is going to open up another quagmire if there's actually a case here. So yeah, basically moral of the story is, contract work is pretty terrible because you don't get treated like an actual employee. So, all right, let's round this out with some good news, right? TMNT Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. There is a showcase, for sort of about 11 minutes of gameplay, first two levels, on IGN's YouTube channel. Game looks great. They have the original voice actors, of course, without Shredder's voice actor. Just want to make sure. James Avery. Right? Yes. Okay. I got a little concerned that like jewelry was the first thing that showed up. Because obviously, James Avery unfortunately passed back in 2013, 2014. So they will have a replacement for that, but otherwise it's all the original voice cast from the 1980s cartoon. Very excited about that. The pixel art looks great. Has very classic sort of, you know, the arcade style TMNT 2 Turtles in Time gameplay. And it's just like a return to form of classic Ninja Turtles stuff. I'm very excited about this game. It's coming to like all platforms this summer. So go check out that video and just get a feel for what it's like. I'm super pumped for it. It is almost like it's a very clear love letter to that style of 2D brawler, you know, side scrolling brawler Turtles game, and I am here for it. So yeah, that is going to round out our quickfire news for this week. So Why don't we talk about World of Warcraft? All right, so the upcoming expansion is World of Warcraft Dragonflight. There was a leak, rumors and a leak or something a couple weeks ago that the next expansion was going to be Dragon Isles. That is now confirmed. Seems like this is going to be an expansion where it's not necessarily some big end of the world type thing that's happening. It's just the story of the expansion is the Dragon Isles are where the dragons are from. And dragons, of course, being very integral into the history and lore of World of Warcraft and the Warcraft genre, the Warcraft series. They're from the Dragon Isles. Dragon Isles is supposed to be a location very steeped in primal elemental magic. And so as Azeroth started weakening after the Sundering, that magic started to fade. And so dragons had to venture out into the world to go protect it. And so they like put this enchantment over the land that said, that until the magic comes back, nobody's going to be able to find this place, including us. And so when the magic comes back, light the beacons, to the sort of residents that were left there. So the beacons are lit, the dragons are returning. And I guess instead of like militaries going there, it's basically we're gonna accompany archaeological expeditions there. And then come to find out it's dangerous. And that's where, adventurers come in. And adventurous for both or dangerous for both mortals and dragons. So the dragons need our help. And obviously we're doing this as a repayment favor for everything that the dragons have done for mortal races. So looks very exciting. A lot of dragon stuff being tied into the expansion itself. Getting a new race, the Drakthyr, which will be available to both factions. They're also doing the cross-faction stuff. So keep that in mind, is that you'll be able to play with your friends, cross-faction. So the Drakthyr, humanoid dragons. sort of a winged dragonborn type deal, for those that are familiar with, like, D&D. You get tails, wings, scales, all customizable features. They also have like a more humanoid-esque form. So my guess is it'll be sort of like Worgen, where you can switch between the two. They are also getting a Drakthyr specific class called the Evoker. So the way this works is basically only Drakthyr can be Evokers, and Evokers can only be Drakthyr. And the Evoker is basically going to be a mid-range mail-wearing magic user class. We'll have DPS and healing specs, and it uses magic from all the different dragon flights and combines them in interesting ways. So they said, the DPS spec was mostly focused on... they said it was red and blue. For fire and like arcane energy. Whereas the healing spec had green for like dream and healing and nature, along with bronze for time and the ability to like use time of things to like speed up your healing or rewind stuff. Makes for a really interesting gameplay. They also thought about, Blizzard has thought about doing a lot of very draconic specific type abilities and effects for both the class and the race. So getting deep breath, so that, your character will jump up into the air, take a deep breath, and then sort of strafe doing a breath weapon as they fly across the battlefield. Very, very neat, very interesting. Doing the look like claw swipes, wing buffets, tail swipes, breath weapon attacks, all sorts of very dragon themed abilities to go along with that. It will be a hero class, and they will get a starting zone on the Dragon Isles. Sort of like Death Knights and Demon Hunters do in their respective campaign settings or expansions. In addition to this, dragon riding will be a core component to this expansion. So sounds like we'll get some an upgraded form of flying right from the get-go. So that sort of answers the question. And because we're going to get it from the get-go, they're going to, my guess would be, build the world with flying in mind, since they want to make it a core feature. I think this is smart. I think this gets around the whole, what do we do with flying? Like, do we do the very unpopular take away flying until, you know, one patch in, and then start doing the Pathfinder achievements in order to unlock flying? And instead lean into it and say, it's going to be available from the get-go. Let's incorporate that into our level design. Which, you know, they could do with any expansion. I mean, if you're looking at endgame expansion type stuff, by that point, people have flying. So just assume that people have flying for the latest expansion. You know, maybe give them a flying mount. But anyway, so I say it's slightly different in that these specific dragon mounts, you will get one mount, customizable. So you can make it look however you want. You can to fully lean into your own individual pet dragon. So it's not like the existing dragon mounts where it's like, oh, you know, you got the time lost proto drake or something. This is you have full control over like your armor, like your dragon's armor and how it looks and its scales and horns and features and wing type and things like that. And then Blizzard has actually added a whole series of flight mechanics for these mounts. So things like drag and lift and gliding, not active flying, but gliding. And so it'll be a very different experience than the sort of mount up. And then I just use swimming controls. So I just doing three-dimensional movement. It's going to feel a lot more organic and a lot more flight simulator-ish than existing flying does. I don't know if they're going to retrofit the flying system onto existing flying mounts. You know, I think that might be the way to go moving forward. Like, I think that would make the most sense from a player perspective. But, you know, that I don't know how that framework is being built. You know, if they can't just build it into the existing flight system. So, you know, or if it's like a variable that gets set for depending on what mount type. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, they were doing barrel rolls and loop de loops and, you know, diving to gain speed and then pulling out of that dive and, you know, gaining all sorts of altitude off of it. I'm sure it'll be very exciting and very interesting. In addition to that, talent trees are back, folks. It looks like, Blizzard is basically leaning into things have been terrible and we admit that we've been wrong about a lot of things. So we're going back to talent trees. So some caveats. It's not going to be the previous form of the talent trees prior to the Mists of Pandaria talent revamp. Like that talent revamp, though, you will be able to, I presume when you're in town, reallocate your talent points for free. You will be able to save your talent expenditures into like different loadouts. So that way you don't have to like go in and manually respend your points every time. You will have two sets of trees. One will be for your class and one will be for your spec. And they will have granular points that allow you to either gain new abilities or focus on existing ones. Sounds like they might take existing either talent abilities or like extra feature abilities from classes and bake them into this system. So if you want to keep like everything that you have currently available, you may have to like follow a specific path in the tree to get that stuff. So yeah, I think that'll be interesting. You know, I do worry if this is just providing an illusion of choice, and if it's just like that it amounts to literally the same end result in terms of effectiveness and mechanics, and it's just it provides a little bit more of a quote unquote feels better to place lots of points into things and get like very marginal upgrades each time, as opposed to, you know, every couple of levels you get a thing that gives you a much bigger boost, you know, and a more profound impact, but like because you get less of it, it feels worse. But yeah, and the fact that, you know, you can respec, you know, for free means that you are encouraged to experiment with stuff. So yeah, I mean, we'll have to see how it goes in implementation. You know, I kind of worry that it'll just get taken over with theory crafting and that, you know, people will, you know, look at your build and be like, your build's wrong. Go away. Like, you're not allowed to be on our raid team or whatever. I don't know. I feel like raiding, at least currently, might be in a sorry enough shape that people might not be able. Well, unless you're a hyper competitive raid guild, you may not have the luxury. Like, you may just be hurting for people and just be like, yeah, we'll take you. You want to try out some weird build? Sure, go for it. Like, we need the bodies. I say this as somebody that has not been on a progression raid team since Wrath of the Lich King was the last time that I did progression raiding. And even, you know, I took a break in Cataclysm, came back in Pandaria. Like later Pandaria. And by that point, like wasn't even really doing raiding at all. This is, you know, more for my feelings for people who, you know, just want to try out stuff, kind of test out something that might be fun and could be effective, but because it's not a quote unquote meta build, may face difficulty, finding acceptance, into raid groups. And mythic groups and whatever all the weird stuff people are doing these days. They're also going to be a UI revamp. Their Blizzard is redoing, providing a little bit of a facelift to their current UI, which will include movable elements. You will no longer, like, if you want to get really down and fine tune things, like you might still, you know, want to use something like Bartender as an add-on, but like, you will be able to move and move around elements on your screen to different locations and set things up, you know, and hide elements too. So like maybe you don't want all these different functions and stuff visible. You know, maybe you just want like the bare minimum information visible. You can do that. You'll be able to do that. And stuff is looks like it will be vector based now, so it will upscale a lot better for higher resolutions and bigger screens. And while still keeping sort of that classic Blizzard UI feel for their fantasy games. You know, with like Griffins and Wyverns. That's right. I wanted to call it Manticores, and I'm like, that's what it is, but like they don't call them that. But yeah, so Wyverns and Griffins and all that stuff, like the very statuesque UI, they are going to keep that overall theme to it, but give it a little bit of a facelift and make it a bit more future proof. So that I'm a big fan of UI design. I'm very excited for that. This is I hope that Blizzard fixes their stuff, fixes their social culture and their office culture. Because I would, you know, from what I'm seeing, I'm excited for it. And I would like to jump back in. When it comes out, I will add that caveat. Current state of the game right now, no, I'm not interested. Which, you know, admittedly does make the decision to you know, quit a bit easier. But yeah, Blizz, fix your nonsense, all right? Because it'd be nice to come back to enjoy all this stuff. Because we're also getting crafting revamp. So crafting is going to be made relevant again. Looks like all of the professions are going to be made relevant again. And they're looking at ways on doing really good gear or different ways to like augment gear, and doing work orders. So we've heard these in the game before, namely, you know, during the Warlords of Draenor thing, where you would submit work orders and like it would just automatically spit stuff out for you. What this will be is, let's say that you don't have any crafting professions. You picked gathering professions because or you picked alchemy and herbalism because you're a hardcore raider and you know, you want to make your own potions and be able to sell stuff for oodles and oodles of money. And so you did the meta build of alchemy, herbalism, or maybe you went herbalism mining to make money. But you need gear, right? And you want, you know, fun items that people with, say, leatherworking, tailoring, blacksmithing can craft. Or maybe you need gems. Maybe they're gonna finally do something with gems again for gear. And let's say you're really good at getting materials. You can submit a work order and provide whatever materials, you know, provide whatever details, you know, like what you're looking for, like how much of an extra commission fee or something. And then it goes, I'm guessing it's going to be like some sort of auction house format, where then people who are able to craft gear can look at your work orders and then take them, you know, and then fulfill them. And so it's going to create, it looks like it's going to create this sort of secondary community of crafters and patrons. So that like if you build up a reputation as somebody that like makes really quality goods, because you have the skill to do it, or maybe you're known, like, you know, maybe you just make basic stuff, but you do it for cheap, you know? You build up a reputation and you can build a client base. I think that, well, and I don't know if it's like a totally detached auction house format where it's just like you're just looking and totally removed from the process, or if it's a little more nuanced, you know, and a little more personal than that. If that's the case, like could be adding a little bit of social element back into the game. I don't know. I'm excited for the work order thing. Because for me, leveling my leatherworking or leveling my crafting professions was always the issue of like just getting materials to just grind out making stuff. Whereas now, like if there's people that actually need things, like that will be interesting and neat to be able to fulfill a need for somebody, as opposed to just, yeah, I'm just making like 100 of these like things that nobody wants because that's the most efficient way to level this up. You know, I remember when I first started playing, like making armor kits was the way to go. And it was just like, yeah, I'm just gonna run around and be like, hey, y'all want armor kits? I'm just giving them out. I don't need them. I can't use them. you know, they don't really sell for a lot on the auction house, but like, hey, you know, you got some gear, you want to add some stamina to it. There you go. Boom. You know, and it felt a little more personable in the game. So, in addition to that, Blizzard has announced, Wrath of the Lich King Classic will be coming this year. Yeah, we'll be, you know, for the most part, Wrath of the Lich King at launch with some quality of life improvements. They have said they are not going to do Dungeon Finder. Dungeon Finder was introduced in Wrath of the Lich King. They've said we've heard the classic community loud and clear. They don't want it. We're not going to do it. They're not going to take it away from retail. You know, they'll leave that option in there for retail. And they've said, you know, if people, you know, they can choose to not want to do that. My guess is that it'll be a lot of casual people using Raid Finder or using Dungeon Finder, Raid Finder, that sort of stuff. You know, I think maybe on roleplay servers, you might see folks a lot more using meeting stones and things like that. But yeah, so Wrath of the Lich King Classic will not include Dungeon Finder. We'll just have a couple minor tweaks here and there. But otherwise, give you that classic experience for Wrath of the Lich King. One thing that we see in both of them, in both Dragonflight and Lich King Classic, are the Tuskar. Tuskar coming back for Dragonflight. They were a fan favorite from Northrend. So we'll see them again. New models, revamped models, and upscaled for higher resolutions. We'll include little baby Tuskar too. So very exciting. Looking forward to it. So yeah, I don't think they gave... let's see. Well, of course, that's the first thing that comes up. Yeah, no real official release date. Might be early 2023. That is purely speculation. There's been no announced release date. This is based on, you know, when the final Shadowlands patch will be, alongside prior release schedules. So who knows? You know, I wonder if this will happen after Microsoft takes over. I think if that's the case, then the likelihood that I return to World of Warcraft might be fairly high. But again, it is entirely reliant on the issues getting fixed. So that is pretty much a synopsis of Dragonflight. A lot of very exciting things for folks that are interested in dragons, which is pretty much, you know, everybody that likes fantasy for the most part. You know, you've got dragon riding, you've got dragon heroes, you've got a dragon class. You know, there's going to be dragon continent, you know, with a whole bunch of zones that are all sort of themed around various dragon flights. And they talked about a lot of the inspiration comes from Wrath of the Lich King. So a lot of Grizzly Hills inspiration there. So, you know, one of the best zones in the game, if not the best zone in the game. And then, of course, just the quality of life improvements from the revamps. So we'll see how things go there. But for now, things are just going to continue with Shadowlands. So yeah, bleh. That is going to wrap things up there. So let's talk a little bit about Questlog. So I managed to get both of the goals done for this past week, coloring another Chapter 1 comic. So 8-Bit Adventures Chapter 1 comic 98 has been colored and completed. As well as completing Rusty Bucket Bay. I cannot tell you how much I hated that level. It is frustrating to no end. And it's just, it's bland. It really is just like so many of the other levels are really interesting and unique in Banjo-Kazooie, and Rusty Bucket Bay is just awful. Like, it's not interesting. It feels like they just phoned it in, like that they had to hash out one more level to just add filler to the game. So yeah, I'm glad it's done. Next week is doing comic number 99, as well as completing one of the best levels in the game, Click Clock Wood, which is, for those that have never played Banjo-Kazooie, first off, it's a platformer where you go around collecting puzzle pieces called jiggies, doing things like you would for Super Mario 64, like various little tasks and stuff, except each level has 10, and it doesn't kick you out of the level when you collect one. Click Clock Wood centers around a big giant tree in the center with, you know, a couple like lots of branches going off to do their, you know, have their own sort of sub levels. Inside the tree is like its own sub level. Around the tree, there's like a lagoon around it. But there's four seasons for the tree, and each of the seasons dramatically changes like what's available, what's open, what's closed, whether you can access, you know, certain areas, power-ups and everything, the enemies that show up. And so really you get a kind of four levels in one. So I'm very excited for that. It's one of my favorite levels in the game. And it just so happens to be the last full level before you get into the end game stuff. So yeah, gonna do our best to complete it before podcast next week. So that is going to wrap things up for this week. Thank you all for joining me. If you want to see more stuff from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out the website at 8-bitadventures.com. If you would like to help support things like the 8-Bit Adventures comic, my artwork, this podcast, a couple of the other sister podcasts like Tales of Jamora, Berkshire Bites, you can become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. Patrons can get benefits for as little as $1 a month. You can connect to Discord. You can connect to Patreon. There's a special thing on the website for it. So like there are specific Discord channels for patrons that get, you know, comics early, or behind the scenes content, patron exclusive comics. So yeah, big shout out and thank you to all of our current patrons. Thank you for your support. Thank you for keeping the lights on. Thank you for keeping hosting packages fed. You help make this possible, and this would not be possible without your support. So thank you. Our opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. Just taking a little while for the command. There we go. ProfessorShyGuy.bandcamp.com. And that is going to wrap things up, folks. So have a great week. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And as always, have fun. Happy gaming. And enjoy your pie cake.